By the time the prosecution rested its case in March, the national settlement of 40 similar state lawsuits was dead. Congress is about to debate a much tougher proposal that strips the tobacco companies of much of their business, limits their ability to advertise, and kills an attempt to protect them from future liability suits. As prosecutors mounted their case in Minnesota, the tobacco industry lost most of its political support in Washington. Through the rulings of Judge Kenneth Fitzpatrick, Minnesota gave the national debate 26 million documents detailing how tobacco ran its business, what they put in the cigarettes, and how they tried to prevent people from finding out any of it. The trial also provided a lesson to other states, how to sue tobacco.
It's really provided a roadmap for other institutional plaintiffs, the states or insurance companies, to make the same kind of arguments in individual suits in individual states.
David Logan is a law professor at Wake Forest University.
I think it's already spurred a large number of insurance companies to step forward that might well have been reluctant had not the case gone as well as it appears to have gone for the plaintiffs in the Minnesota.
The impact of the Minnesota trial was obvious last month when a group of Blue Cross Blue Shield organizations sued the companies. They'll argue virtually the same themes as Minnesota Blue Cross Blue Shield has. Minnesota healthcare organizations such as Allina and Health Partners, who had shied away from following Blue Cross Blue Shield initially, launched their own lawsuits armed with the evidence the Mike Cerisi team uncovered. Richard Daynard of the Tobacco Products Liability Project at Northeastern University says the Minnesota trial will launch dozens of other suits and tobacco will be hard-pressed to make them go away with out-of-court settlements.
I think it brings out other insurers. I think it brings out large corporate employers who self-insure their employee health care costs. The floodgates are open.
But Greg Little, an attorney for Philip Morris, says Minnesota was the perfect place for a suit against tobacco, a situation other states and other institutions will have a hard time duplicating.
I doubt that there will ever be a situation where the combination of pretrial publicity, an attorney general who's running for governor that seems to be on a daily basis almost holding press conferences about the case, a court's rulings that really have almost uniformly gone against the industry. I don't know that there'll ever be another situation quite like this.
Law professor Michael DeBoe at Cumberland University thinks Minnesota provided little more than an airing of the internal company memos. He says the original national settlement was going to die with or without the trial, and any lawsuits that are filed by emboldened plaintiffs following the Minnesota case won't make much difference.
I don't know how many times you can bring the industry to its knees financially through lawsuits. I mean, I think you can only put a bullet through its head one time, and you know whether you have 40 suits or 400, the potential exposure to the industry from the suits that are out there now is enormous, and so maybe other people will join the party, but I'm not sure at this point that that'll change the settlement dynamics very much.
The flood of new lawsuits does not guarantee courtroom victory. Even with the exposure of the millions of documents in Minnesota, tobacco companies have never lost a state-initiated lawsuit. During the Minnesota trial, tobacco won court skirmishes in Iowa, Florida, and Indiana. In Iowa, the Supreme Court substantially limited the state's ability to recover damages in a case very similar to Minnesota's. Iowa AG Tom Miller thinks the Minnesota case has given his some life.
Those documents are important to us, particularly in the state RICO, the ongoing criminal conduct count, and in the consumer fraud count, including the documents concerning kids.
Many tobacco critics want a jury verdict in Minnesota. They think the Cerisi team has damaged the companies enough to warrant the first courtroom win for a state. Settlements, more than jury verdicts, though, have the potential to change the way tobacco does its business. For example, if advertising restrictions are part of any settlement in the Minnesota case, Congress will likely impose them nationally. George Annis at Boston University School of Law says advertising restrictions are virtually unenforceable on a state-by-state basis.
They really have a choice now of trying to do this state-by-state, and Minnesota will be the fourth state if it settles to enter into settlement with the tobacco companies, and we could do it state-by-state, or have it done by Congress in conjunction with the tobacco companies. And it seems to me that it has to be done by Congress.
For years, tobacco's biggest fear was that government would regulate it. With settlements in Florida and Texas, that is now a certainty. Hamline University law professor Joe Daly says the game changed when the Supreme Court ordered tobacco to make internal memos public.
It's going to be highly regulated like other kinds of drugs. we're going to require them, I think, to reveal how their product is made, and we're going to make them stand by their product. If their product causes diseases, they're going to have to make sure that they stand by, just like we make everybody stand by their products that they make and reveal the dangers that are in their products.
Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller says the documents pried loose in the Minnesota case have opened the window on the tobacco company's business. He says politicians have looked inside. When the tougher congressional bill was reported out of Senator John McCain's committee last month, it was on a 19-1 vote. He says that sort of congressional unity against the companies never would have happened before last January. I'm Bob Collins, Minnesota Public Radio.